This morning, we're going to look at inheritance. You know, when your kids tell you that they love you, and you're getting older, and you got quite a collection of paraphernalia from your life and everything, and they suddenly take an even a better interest towards you and your needs and stuff, is it possible that they're after your stuff? Inheritance. I mean, when they find out that mom and dad are getting old enough to die, oh, we'll miss you, do I get your guns? And this thing about inheritance is we don't think much about, because I'm not sure we understand it necessarily. I might not help a whole lot of that today. But eternal life is more than just going to heaven when you die. It's more even if you're halfway biblically aware, yes, there is a judgment seat of Christ that comes up. So there's that to deal with too. You know, win a few things, lose a bunch of things kind of thing based on your works and that kind of thing, whether you follow Paul or not. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But there is also an inheritance. My kids aren't thrilled because we don't have much to leave them. But there are some people that have an awful lot to leave to their children. And if they, matter of fact, if they start offering to fix you meals, and they want to take you places like the Grand Canyon for vacations and things, I would be a little wary if you have a lot of stuff to give to them. I can just hear my daughter saying, Dad, you know, remember when I was little and you put me on that tree on the edge of the Grand Canyon and took that picture and made Graham so mad? She takes me down there. Can I push you up on that tree, Dad? And I'll be glad to take you. Now, Dad, just back up just a little bit more. Oh, bye. And now the inheritance isn't hers either, so that's okay. But inheritance is a big thing, and Christians, I don't think we know much about it. Now, Matthew 22, verse 30, so we're going to look at an example, just a sample here. Certainly, I guess I should go to Matthew instead of Acts. That would help greatly. Matthew 22, verse 33. We have some, well, we'll just read it here. Matthew 22, verse 33. That's not what I'm even looking for at all. I mean, not even within the range. I wonder if it's 21. No, I wonder if... there we go. There it is. I bet you it's over here. It's 21, 33. Off to a great start, right, Sue? Matthew 21, verse 33. Here another parable. Here's a parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it. There you go, grammar kids. Digged is okay. A wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Typical response. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. See, there you go, guys. If you're next in line for the kingdom there at the Kench house, you're going to have some people looking to get rid of you somehow. That's what's going on here. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard, took him behind the barn and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the Scriptures, The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say unto you, The kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation, bringeth forth the fruits thereof. Isn't that interesting? Who be that? Right there in Matthew. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he had spake of them. That's always nice when you think the sermon's to you, you know. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because he took him for a prophet. And so we have some people that wanted the inheritance, and it wasn't theirs to inherit. But they were going to find a way to get that stuff. Now, look at 1 Peter. We have an inheritance. Christians have an inheritance. Actually, the Jews have the inheritance because those are his people. So we know that. And according to 1 Peter chapter 1, boy, he went to a Matthew verse and then to a Peter verse. When is he going to get to Paul? We're going to get to Paul in a minute. This just tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, that this inheritance that they have for them is incorruptible, it's undefiled, and fadeth not away. I mean, it's there for them. And it says, reserved in heaven for you. And again, we're in Peter, so we know who he's talking to here. It's not a verse to us, but we still can learn that this inheritance is undefiled, incorruptible, and it's not going away, and it's there. Now, if we wanted to take the time this morning, we would go through the rest of this chapter, verse 21, chapter 3, verse 12, chapter 4, verse 19, to show that this is tribulation stuff. This is not to us. I won't do that this morning, but they're on the notes. Three of the verses just in First Peter, that is without a shadow of a doubt, this is written to Jews during the tribulation, those that would be children of God. They have to hope to the end, endure to the end, all this kind of stuff. But we go there to learn the fact that this inheritance is incorruptible. And it's undefiled. And it's always there just waiting, according to that. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 20. The question is, this morning, can we lose this inheritance as a Christian today? Can we lose some of it, all of it, none of it, or what? What's the deal? And do you even care? Well, sure we ought to care. It's an inheritance. First of all, what is an inheritance? It's something that you receive by doing what? Nothing. It's inherited. He gives it to you, boys. Dad just signs your name on this piece of paper, and he just gives it to you. That's nice. What'd you do for that? Well, you stayed in the family, and you smiled even when you didn't want to. And told him how much you loved him, even if you don't. All that kind of stuff. But that's not works. That's just... But your inheritance is there for you because you inherit it. You don't earn it. So Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Can we lose inheritance? Well, first of all, do we even have an inheritance? We're Christians. This is all about to the Jews, right? Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up, which he says in Philippians, he has begun a good work in you, he will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. So yes, the word of grace is there to build us up, make us strong, etc., etc. But it also says, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That's part of the inheritance crowd. So yeah, Paul is there, because Paul's the one that speaks to the Gentiles, that if they put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ, then they're called the church of God, no longer a Gentile. And they receive an inheritance. Really. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Well, that's nice to hear. I'm so counting on this church going for the next 10 years because of an inheritance. You know? Remember how we got the van paid for? Somebody died and left us a bunch of money. We still to this day don't know who it was. We think it must have been one of the ladies from the Oddfellows, I guess. But we don't know. She left us enough money to pay for that van. That was a marvelous thing. Inheritance is a great thing because it's usually a lot more than just a little, you know, just a thing. And there's people out there, I don't know who's out there in this world that likes what we preach and teach. Is it because we've earned it? No, it's because they're part of this family out there. And if they feel so led, which I hope they so led do feel someday, that they would sign over a bunch of money. It sounds greedy, no, but this is what we need to keep going as we all fizzle down here in time. So this inheritance is very important stuff. And if you get a phone call, Aunt Mabel, I guess. I have to be careful nowadays what name to use for aunt. And Aunt Mabel died, and then a couple of days later you get a phone call, and this has the attorneys Bicker, Backer, and Bucker, you know. And... why I thought of Bicker, Backer, and Bucker, but you know what that call is going to be all about. You get some of Aunt Mabel's inheritance, and you're excited about that. You didn't live for it, because you can't do anything to get it, but you're part of her family. So we as Christians realize from Paul that there is an inheritance there. Now, can we lose it? Can you do something, Sam or Austin, enough to make your dad so mad that he writes you out of the will? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So is that why we fear this inheritance stuff? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. So that's my question. Can we lose this? Is it when everybody says to us, well, you're going to lose your inheritance, you know, when you do what you're doing and you die unconfessed, all this kind of stuff. Ephesians chapter 1. That in the dispensation, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, this is when it's all over, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Whoa, good. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. There's that predestined word again. That means God knew who was going to be saved and he picked and he chose. No, it doesn't. Look at verse 4. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Does that mean he chose everybody way back? Is that predestination? No. What did he choose? He chose that we should be holy without blame. That's been the design from the start. He says, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Did he pick and choose us who we are, who goes to heaven, who doesn't? No. He said that from the beginning you were going to have to be adopted into this crowd. He's already known from the beginning how this thing is going to go. So this inheritance has always been there, and it's there for the Jews. Now, how do we get into this thing? Let's go to Acts chapter 26. How do we get in on the pie, as they would say, I suppose? Like Austin and Sam and Olivia, can't leave Olivia out. You get the kitchen and all the sewing stuff and everything. And you guys get the guns and the tractors and the dirt, all that stuff out there, see? And that's okay. That's okay. But I want in on some of that. I don't want the kitchen and the sewing stuff and the dishes. You can have all that stuff. I like to get some of those guns and some of those tractors. I mean, one, just turn on the tractor and turn it off and the lawn's mowed here. And it's off. I'd be like that. I'd like to have all that dirt and land, go out there and just gut old Mother Earth. Remember that day and just, that'd be fun to have stuff like that. I'd just turn it in for cash. Kind of a thing that's paid for. That kind of stuff. So I want in on this. Well, I'm sorry, but you can't be in this, Pastor, because you're not part of the family as such. Oh, really? I always thought I was, but we'll see here. Acts 26:18. The same thing with the Gentile. I mean, the Jews hated Gentiles. They've always hated. In fact, Paul even talks about here that there's a wall of partition between the Jews and the Christians. I mean, they just didn't click. Dogs. They weren't even called a people. And here comes this Paul guy who hated Jews, hated Christians. And suddenly he's telling these Gentiles, I'm sorry, he hated Gentiles, Christians, Jews, Christians, whatever. And he said, listen, you got inheritance coming now. Here's a guy that hated Christians. To open their eyes, verse 18, this is his ministry, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That's Paul's ministry. That's why we go to Paul. That they may receive forgiveness of sins, that's a good thing, and inheritance. There it is again. Paul will show us about this inheritance. Is it for us? Look at Acts 18. Look at Acts 13. Look at Acts 13. And right now, Austin and Sam are saying, there's no way you're going to get in there, and I'm going to share these guns and this ammo with you. There's no way. You haven't done anything in this family. Acts 13:47. This is just a quick show that Paul is the one that's going to show us these things. Because he says in verse 47, for so hath commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation to the ends of the earth. This is Paul's ministry. He's the light. He's going to show us what the risen Savior wants us to know and what wants us to do. Now, let's go to Ephesians 1. So Paul's telling people that there's an inheritance in there. Now, why do we come up with that inheritance for the Gentile, the Church of God, those that put their faith in Christ? How can this be? Let's go to Ephesians what? Ephesians 1. Well, let's go to, okay, verse 18. Okay. Ephesians 1:18. One of the things Paul prays for, where he says in verse 16, not to, making mention of it in my prayers, verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the riches of the glory of His inheritance. He also says, what is the hope of His calling? We're going to skip right down to the fact that as we grow and learn as a Christian, understanding grows, becomes enlightened, we can then know what the riches of the glory of His inheritance. Oh, that's pretty exciting. Now, how did this happen? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 says in verse 12, what it was like beforehand. We had no inheritance and we were lost. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. In other words, we had nothing to do with the Jews, zero zilch, having no hope and without God in the world. Not only were we without God, we were without Christ. Not only were we headed to hell in the lake of fire, we had nothing that the Jews had. As inheritance, the promises, the wealth of Israel, commonwealth of Israel, we had nothing to do with them. Zero zilch. But now in verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, which means you need to be saved if you are saved, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Gets rid of the law and the whole thing. Everybody can jump in and be together. 16. And that He might reconcile both unto God. Both who? Jew, Gentile. In one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, that's us, and to them that were nigh. Those were His people. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, because now the Jews didn't have access. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Now does that mean that we have are we sharing this inheritance now all of a sudden? Sure, look at chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation, Jesus Christ spoke to him face to face, He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, parentheses, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here it is. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. That's the promise. There's the inheritance. Wow. We're fellow heirs. Sam and Austin and Olivia find out that I'm part of the family. I get to share what you guys have. Girl. Isn't that exciting? Well, you're not going to get the, start listing the thing. You're not going to get this. You're not going to get that kind of a thing. But now, here's an important point. Verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God unto me, given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So now, this is why we are told to follow Paul. And Paul follows the risen Savior. We're not going to know about these riches in the Gospels. They're just not there. Now, look at Romans chapter 8. So now we're fellow heirs now. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit. Remember back in Paul's time, no Bible, no 1 Corinthians 13:10. So the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit as we read our Bible, whether we're Christians or not. That kind of a thing. Anyway, the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Ask somebody how they know they're a Christian. Oh, I just know. I just know. The Spirit of God tells me. Well, Paul also warns about another spirit. So the only way you can find out for sure is if the Spirit of God is coming through this King James Bible. Anyway. And if children, it says, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Right. There's an inheritance coming that's absolutely spectacular. And we're joint heirs with Christ. Okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. So I hope we've established the fact that there is inheritance. And we're in on it. Now, the craziest thing takes place here. Now, most people I've talked to at the fair or whatever, if they understand it to this point, then they say, well, yes, because we're going to share with what the Jews have, then we need to go back and we need to do what the Jews are taught to do. It takes us back to the Gospels, takes us back to the Old Testament teachings or whatever. I talked to the Seventh-day Adventist one time who said, well, we're spiritual Jews, and we need to go back and do with the things the Jews were taught, obey the Sabbath and the whole spiel. Where do you get that? It doesn't say that at all. Because we're who we are, we follow Paul. And go back to the Old Testament stuff. So, let's not fall into that trap here, but I don't think we'll hear this morning. Ephesians 1:14. This inheritance that we are part of, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Remember I said earlier that in Peter, it talks about the fact that the inheritance is reserved for them, that they're waiting for them? Now, what can happen during the tribulation? They can blow the whole thing. So that's why it's still there. They're waiting for them. But they give up their faith. They take the mark, whatever it is. Not obey the commandments of God, not go through the confession line, whatever. Then they can blow the whole thing. The inheritance doesn't change. It's still there. It's uncorruptible, undefiled, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven. It's there waiting for them. But now we, through Paul's teachings, we see in Acts chapter 14, we already have the earnest of our inheritance. And the few times you've ever bought a house, I've come to realize what an earnest payment is, and that's the fact that you get to buy the house. You give them a couple bucks. Now, the first house we bought, we only had to give them a dollar. Makes you old feeling, doesn't it? Had to give them a dollar. Now you got to give them a lot of money. But that means you're securing the loan. Correct? I think that's what that means. The earnest. So we see in verse 14, we've already received the earnest of our inheritance. Well, it says, which is the earnest? Okay, what is which? I can go back to verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. What's the earnest? It's been sealed. We can't lose it. You can't lose your house when you give them 50 bucks or 1,000 bucks or 15,000 for your earnest payment, supposedly. And we've already received that part of it. Look at, and it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Someday we'll get the whole shebang. But right now we've got the earnest payment already been made. We're sealed. So far, so good? Don't believe me? Hello? Okay, I'll talk to the Webb family. Do you believe me out there? That's what it says. We're sealed. That inheritance is there. Now, why does it get difficult when somebody says, well, you can lose your inheritance? Is that what we lose at the judgment seat of Christ? Look at Colossians chapter 1. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Sorry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. I wish people would realize the difference between our desire and their desires out there in this Great Commission, worldly Christianity, modern Christianity desires. They're trying to show us that this Bible isn't right. They try to show us there's mistakes in this Bible. They try to show us that if we do something wrong, we can lose our salvation for some of them. They're trying to show us that we can lose fellowship with God. They're trying to show us that we can lose inheritance. They're trying to show us, well, what's so edifying about, what's so positive about that? They think they're very positive people, positive thinkers and all that, Norman Vincent Peale and those kind of people. And here, what do we have to say to people? Scripturally proved, rightly divided, this Bible is the only Bible you need. It's the only Bible that exists. all this ritual stuff that goes on doesn't impress God at all. It's earthly kingdom stuff. We're trying to show them how to serve the risen Savior. You don't lose your salvation, even if you do something wrong. God's taking care of that. You don't lose your fellowship with God, even though you pull away. He's still in you. He's faithful to you. You don't lose any inheritance. What kind of a God would that be? What kind of a dad would put you guys and Olivia down on this inheritance thing, and then the last couple of minutes, Marcy, bring me my whiteout. And the guys are going, oh. And Olivia's going, yes. And Austin. Sam. Dad, what? Just because I burnt the house down when I was 14? Not a big deal, you know. And that why is everybody trying to knock down what the risen Savior has done for people? They're showing that he's a human God. He's actually very unloving. And here we are. We're going to show folks here that look at this. Look at Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. You're sealed. Okay, we should be able to stop the sermon right now. I don't care what you see in the rest of Paul's writings, but you're sealed for that inheritance. It gets even better. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. We have become Christians who need to be taught so much stuff. Remember that guy that wrote that Seventh-day Adventist article a couple of weeks ago? I don't know, 15 or 20 pages on why Colossians 2:16 doesn't mean what it says. That's just ridiculous. So we ought to be able to stop as well. Look at Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father, the whole context is in it, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So God has made us meet. He's made us capable. He's made us in such a fashion that we can have this inheritance. It isn't something that we've done. It's something that He's done. He has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in high. He's made it so we can be an inheritance. We can receive that inheritance. And we did Ephesians chapter 2. How we did it by being nigh unto Him and Jesus Christ and made us into one. And that all explanation is there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 if we want. Now, I guess I'm going to try to show you how you can lose your inheritance, I guess. Do you believe you can? There's no way. Not with what we just read. Not the fact that God has made us meet to be partakers. Not the fact that, adding to the fact that we're sealed. And we've already received the earnest of the inheritance already. Now, just because modern realtors today, you can have somebody put the earnest money down and change your mind, and they can either give the money back. You pay the earnest money that I knew, you're in. You can't back out. And if you back out, they keep the money. Somebody backed out of our house deal one time and said, wait, they paid $1,000 for inheritance. Why can't I keep that? The realtor said, well, we just don't do things like that. Well, I do. That's the way the law is written. I don't want these people to back out. I mean, if they do, I get their dog and cat and kids. You know, that's how that works. I get their car. I don't want their kids. They get their cars, I guess. So here we are. Now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, and we're going to see something here that's just going to go, see, I told you, you were wrong. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Did you know that? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Did you know that? Listen, we fit one of those words in there somewhere. We do. Pretty serious list there. Aren't you a thief? Haven't you stolen something? You can get this picky one, you know, the paperclip from the office. I mean, you stole something somewhere. Well, I have not. Oh, you liar. You have. And he says right there, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified. See, that's us. Okay, so what about this other stuff? fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, even the guys that have a loose wrist. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Thieves, covetous. Don't you go shopping just because you want to go shopping? Good. Some of you do. Let's go down to the mall and look around. You're covetous. Somebody pulls up and they got these boxes out in front of their house. You know, boy, I'd like to have... You're being covetous. You're wanting something. You're kind of a deal. Nor drunkards. Doesn't have to just be drinking. Revilers. Get a little loud at your party last night, did you? Nor extortioners. Well, I've never done that. You got kids? Or have you got parents? It goes both ways, you know. It does. Well, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's right, you're not. What do you need? You need the righteousness of God. Your righteousness isn't going to get it. You need His righteousness. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. See how this all fits? If people don't understand the circumcision of Christ, they don't understand being separated from the flesh, and if they don't understand the righteousness of God that's been imputed to us, then they look at this and go, see right there. It gets even better. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. They're missing things here when they go to this kind of a stuff. First, they're missing that we've been sealed, and they're missing all those things we talked about. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Well, duh. We know that. Romans 14 tells me what the kingdom of God is. It's a spiritual kingdom. It is not a fleshly kingdom. So if we're attached to our flesh, we can't get the kingdom of God. Well, we're not attached to our flesh anymore. What are you talking about? Colossians chapter 2, 11 through 16 talks about the spiritual circumcision of Christ, an operation made without hands. He cuts our flesh, He cuts our soul away from our flesh. And our flesh still has sin in it. Why do you think that Paul says what he says in Romans chapter 7, that he doesn't do things he should do, and he does things he shouldn't do, and he doesn't do things he should do, somewhere in there. And he says, but it wasn't me that did it. It's the sin that's in me. You see, he's separated from that flesh. He's separated from that sin. So sin is still there. But see, we're not flesh and blood anymore. When we'll pick on Lewis. When Lewis dies, unless he's on a cruise and he gets eaten by a shark, we'll be able to have his body at a mortuary place. Sorry, Sue. And his body can't go there yet. Some people think their body's ready to go, but it's not. It's got sin in there. That's all that's saying. Look at Galatians 3, verse 18. I think it was the ship Indianapolis that was Indianapolis? I think it was the ship Indianapolis that was used to haul the bomb that took Hiroshima. I think I got this right. And they got the bomb to California. They got the bomb to somewhere in one of the islands. And then the Japanese sunk that Indianapolis. And it was such a secret trip that they didn't even know that they had been sunk. And the guys just floated around out in the ocean for a couple of days, eaten by sharks. That'd be scary. So, you know, you don't have to have a body, which we're glad about that. That body doesn't go to the kingdom of God. The only reason we're involved in the kingdom of God today is because we're separated from this body. Our body can be eaten by snakes, by alligators, whatever. Not a big deal. So, but that's not what we're talking about here. Galatians 3:18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Look at verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture has concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith, there it is, by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now look at Hebrews chapter 11. So it's by faith we receive this inheritance. It's not by works. So how come all of a sudden these works in Corinthians 6, and we'll look at some more here, can affect this inheritance? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Again, we're going to a tribulation book, but it tells us something, a fact, and we still learn these things. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went. So he was told to go out and he went. He had faith to go. And he received an inheritance for that. By faith. For faith, not because of the works. Now, Galatians chapter 5, speaking of works, now the work, Galatians chapter 5 verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is sexual flesh. Your flesh is just winning over everything. Not always just sexual, but just flesh wins. Idolatry, witchcraft, which we learn also was rebellion. It's just witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Variance is in a state of dissension or controversy. That's not the way Christians ought to be. Emulations. Emulations is the act of attempting to equal or excel in qualities or actions, desires of superiority. It can be done in a good manner and a bad manner. A wrath, strife, seditions. Sedition is a rising or commotion of less extent than an insurrection. But it's still a tumultuous assembly of men rising in opposition to something. That's a sedition. That's the work of the flesh. Heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. There's that party hardy stuff again there. Remember we talked about how do Christians have game nights and stuff. How do we behave? And such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There you are. So does it matter that you're sealed? Does it matter that that inheritance is there? Does it matter of the promises that we've been given by God? Because if we do those things, we can't have it. No, because that's not how we get the kingdom of God anyway. We need His righteousness. What about the things that you're doing? Well, I've learned that Paul teaches that they're not imputed. Matter of fact, there's no law. So what's the problem here? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Do it again. Verse 3. Ephesians 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Well, there's that kingdom of Christ. See how that fits in there? Is that talking to us? And right away people think, okay, there you are. So you think that Christ took care of the law for righteousness. That means that you can go out and do these things and you're all right. Well, you're not all right, but all things are lawful. But it could cause somebody to stumble. It certainly isn't expedient. It certainly isn't right. Of course not. Some of this has a power over you that you can't stop. Some of this is an occasion for the flesh. So yeah, we shouldn't do it. Nobody says we should do those things. But if you do, you don't lose your inheritance. You don't lose your salvation. You don't lose your fellowship with God. You got to be kidding me. No, I'm not kidding you. This is what Paul has taught to me. So you can react one or two ways. Well, that's just stupid. That's just no. Or, wow, does he really love? That's how Paul wants it to be. I mean, have you ever kicked your boys out of your family? Maybe for a few minutes. No, you haven't. They're still at Kench. You never told Austin, get out of here and go take another name. You probably told me to get out before I snuck your head off, but you never told you to change your name. You're still a kid. That's just the way it is. Right, Olivia? Just because you burned a sausage or something, you don't lose your last name over this deal. If you burn it the second time. If you burn your mom's favorite pan. Because her mother's mother gaped and invented pans. And you still ruined it. It's okay. So if we can be like that, now some parents aren't that way. They're not. Off you go. Take another name. You're out of the will. Whatever. Get out of here. Or, I mean, sure, there's people like that. But God's not like that. And I don't understand why people want to bring God down. They want to make His love a humanistic love. He loves us based on what we do down here. That's not how God loves us. He loves us because of His Son. He loves us because He's imputed His righteousness to us. And He won't change that. Well, what does he do about that then? What if you do those things? Come on. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Okay, so our inheritance is sealed. Okay, so He's made us meet to be partakers of that inheritance. Okay, that's fine. That's good. Don't forget that if we had to do right to keep that inheritance, we'd have to have the Spirit of God upon our flesh too. But we don't. We have the Spirit of God in us, separated us from the flesh. So there's no reason that inheritance can be a problem. But now, it does say in Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Whoa, what is that? I thought you said inheritance wasn't a reward. Because a reward is based on something you do. An inheritance is not because of something you've done. According to Paul's teachings, it's because of our faith. For ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. Then he throws, there is no respect of persons. So he goes by the book, by Paul's writings. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The only thing this can be, the reward of the inheritance, is then within that inheritance we have the judgment seat of Christ. And it doesn't say that we lose, it says that we shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. Well, I didn't know that there was anything wrong. I thought the law was taken care of. Well, it was. So right? I mean, the law is gone. The law is not an issue for a Christian, so there's nothing wrong as far as that part of it goes. But now we have a flesh that still does things. We have sin that's in that flesh. So we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that God still has to clean that out. He's still got to clean what we've done. He's cleaned us. But now we've got to clean up what we've done. The works that we've done on this earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 10, I think it is. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're Christians. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Now Paul's the master builder. What we're going to build is what Paul provides the materials to build with. We're going to learn from Paul. Learning from Jesus' teachings, learning from the Old Testament, learning from Peter, learning from John, learning from James, is not going to give us the right building materials that will burn in the fire. Paul's teachings will not burn. And the fire shall, and because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Well, good. But that's based on works. And that's okay. But that can't be inheritance. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, so as before. So we're not going to go through the tribulation. We're not going to go through the judgment seat ourselves. Our works will be. So we have an inheritance that's there. And I personally don't believe that we can lose any of that inheritance. It was given to me because of my faith in Christ. He brought me together with Him and the Jews. So that's there. And I'm sealed with it until the day of redemption gets, it all comes. Now there's a judgment seat that based on what I do down here, the reward will be there. Or what I don't do, or if I do wrong, whatever, then it'll burn. So these guys that go back to Corinthians and Galatians there and Ephesians, and they try to show us that the loss, that's a guilt trip, that is a scary preaching, that is a scary teaching, that's trying to manipulate the people into responding. Just like, I don't know if anybody ever in here has ever said to your kid, I don't know, Lewis, you've ever said to Jimmy, Jimmy, you do that again, you're out of the will. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's people that can say that and they have all the right to do that, but you're not God. If you loved your family like God loves His, you'd never say that. But then you'd still reward Him based on some of the things He did, and if He didn't do some things right, He would lose some, He'd lose something. Privileges, money, I mean, lose His dog. I mean, in some way you can take care of your kids. But not that inheritance. So, I believe that we cannot lose our inheritance. But we can sure lose things based on our works. And I think the Scriptures are clear about that. And you only learn that by going through Paul. If you go to Peter or John or Luke or Mark or Matthew, those guys, yeah, they can lose it because they can. Anyway, there you go.